I'll pray due to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on His last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. The topic of this afternoon's presentation is that of salvation and repentance. And this topic, though it is not often talked about in Muslim circles, many of us who come from Christian backgrounds are quite familiar with it. The idea of salvation is central to Christian dogma or theology. It's the reason why, according to them, God became man to die for man's salvation. So it's the very central principle in Christianity. I mean, it's the whole essence of Jesus being God and Jesus becoming an object of worship for Christians. In Islam, actually, the concept of salvation is also a very important concept, a very important principle, which is linked with the principle of repentance. Different from Christianity in that repentance is the root to salvation. For Muslims, we have no intermediary, no one can save us. Salvation is in our own hands. So the principle of repentance and salvation is fundamental to the system of Islam. It is based on human weakness, the impossibility for man to become perfect. That is, we have been given certain responsibilities along with the blessings which Allah has bestowed on us as human beings. However, the fulfillment of these responsibilities in the fullest sense, completely, is impossible. We as human beings will have failings. Allah has created us with a free will, and one of the consequences of the free will is our errors, human failings. However, Allah has provided for us a route by which we can atone for these failings. He has provided for us a door to salvation through repentance from these sins which are inevitable for us to commit. And he has done so because when we commit sins and seek Allah's forgiveness, and Allah is merciful to us, then His attribute of being the most merciful is manifest. That is, this quality of committing sin and repenting is a means which Allah has chosen, and He could take any means that He wishes, for the manifestation of His mercy. And I'm not saying that, you know, as a philosophical point, but that this is actually based on a statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said that if mankind didn't commit sin, and this is in Sahih Muslim, and turn back to Allah in repentance, then Allah would have destroyed mankind and replaced them with another people who would commit errors, turn back to Allah in repentance, and He would have mercy on them. So this is from the words of the Prophet Muhammad himself. When we look at the story of Adam, alayhi salam, we see really that the essence of that story is one of error, repentance, and salvation. That is the core of the story. I know some people may take Adam and Eve in symbolic senses, wherein they will give a variety of interpretations as to who Adam really represented and who Eve represented and what the error was and what the tree was, etc., etc. But these interpretations are not founded in the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as such we should avoid them. We believe that Adam and Eve were the first two human beings. We can see from their story that Allah had provided them with certain knowledge, but due to their human weaknesses, they disobeyed Allah, committed sin of eating from the forbidden tree. However, Allah provided them with knowledge of how to attain salvation. So they turned back to Allah, asking His forgiveness, and He forgave them. Furthermore, Adam became the first prophet among mankind. So not only was he forgiven, but he was given the purse of prophethood, something which has been given to a very few among mankind. So for us, there was no original sin, in the sense that the error of Adam and Eve ended with them. He's not inherited in any way, faith or not. However, the essence of the story is there for us to learn. That when we commit errors, we should turn back to Allah in repentance. And if we do so sincerely, then He will forgive us. That's the essence. And this is very, very important for us as Muslims, in that if we do not make it a regular part of our lives, daily, after every prayer, every Jumu'ah, or in the various other acts of worship we do, like Umrah, or Hajj, fasting, if we don't make it a part of regularly seeking Allah's forgiveness, then it is easy for our hearts to become hardened. Where we have committed so many errors, we feel that there is no hope for Allah's forgiveness, and as such we fall into the depths of transgression and evil. So it is a principle which is really essential for us to maintain and to develop our spirituality, Because the principle of committing errors and seeking repentance for the errors, doing good, this principle is there for human development. Actually, Allah, as we know, does not need for us to turn to Him in repentance. It is we who need to turn to Him in repentance. So Allah has placed this principle in our lives for our benefit, whereby we as human beings, when we commit errors, and we realize these errors, and we turn back to Allah, seeking sincerely His forgiveness, then we become better people. This is a process of, or a principle in the process of the spiritual development of the human being. And the more he turns in repentance, the better person he becomes. As the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَأٌ. All of Adam's descendants are continually committing errors. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. And the best of those who commit these errors are those who turn back frequently to Allah in repentance. So, this is a principle for us, that we need to be turning back to Allah regularly, sincerely, for the protection of our souls and for our spiritual development. However, when we talk about repentance, the seeking of forgiveness, commonly people tend to think of it in terms of saying Astaghfirullah, I seek forgiveness from you, O Allah. And this becomes a ritual which is done on the fingers and with the tongue, wherein people will be almost nervously going through this finger movement, very rapid finger movements, and tongue is stop. They have a particular number, 100, they want to complete, you know, get on with their business. But we need to stop and think, is this what Islam has described for us? Is this really of any benefit to us? I mean, we're doing it, the end of the Salah, Allah says, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, we've been told to repeat the praises of Allah. But is this what was meant by it? I don't think. Whatever we say of Allah's praises, it should come from our hearts. It's expressed with our tongues, and it may involve our fingers, but it should come from our hearts. It should come with reflection. Astaghfirullah. Being conscious of what we are saying. So it has real meaning, and it can have a real effect. After looking over many of the various texts from the Quran and the Sunnah, Muslim scholars have identified certain conditions which are necessary for repentance to be truly sincere and acceptable to Allah. As I said, these conditions are found within the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. They're not things made up by certain individuals who consider themselves to be spiritual doctors. We have people around who claim that they're doctors. They can look at you and see what your problem is, and they will tell you what you need to do. You know, we have people like that, but what I'm speaking here now is of things which Allah has spoken about, which the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has identified as necessary for one to achieve true repentance, acceptable to Allah. The first principle is one that we should remember Allah. It should involve the remembrance of Allah. Because in essence, all of the worship that we do, every act of worship that we perform, it is ultimately to develop in ourselves a consciousness of Allah. It is for the remembrance of Allah. We find this in the description of fasting. Allah says that He has described it for us as He did for those before us. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That perhaps you may become God conscious. Allah also speaks about Salah, saying, أقم الصلاة لذكري. Establish the prayer for my remembrance. And all the various acts of worship have this factor at its foundation. Why? Because it is in the remembrance of Allah that we become righteous individuals. It is in the forgetfulness of Allah that we stray. So the core, because Islam wants us, or wants from us, righteousness, it wants us to become righteous individuals, then the core of the worship is there to develop in us this consciousness of God, because it in fact is the essence of righteousness. It's the consciousness of Allah which makes us do good even though we may feel that no one will know. There is no policeman or official to watch over us. But we will do right, we will be good anyway. If we're working on a job, we do our best, not because we're trying to put on a show for the supervisor, our boss. You know, you have a work syndrome wherein people are hard workers whenever the boss comes around. Whenever the supervisor comes, they're working like, you know, bees, ants. But as soon as the boss is gone, then you see them fall back into, you know, the work syndrome. For a Muslim, that is not his way. He is doing his best at all times. Because he knows, if he has signed a contract of work, that he will do so much to earn for himself so much, then for him not to do that and take that money is haram. Simply, it is haram. And we know what Prophet ﷺ said about the individual who raised his hand begging of Allah, but his food was haram, his clothes were haram. Allah doesn't answer his prayer. So for a Muslim, he does his best. He does what he has committed himself to because of his fear of Allah. This is what separates us from the rest of the world. The rest of the world, it does good whenever the forces of authority are around. I remember I visited New York City sometime in the 80s, and there had been a blackout. You know, the electrical grid had fallen, and New York City was plunged in darkness for 2 days. When I got there, it looked like Germany after World War II. Windows of stores were smashed, glass all over the street. Windows were boarded up, you know, shops all across the city. And they were showing on the television, because I came like the day after they got the lights back on. They were showing on the television. News people had been traveling with their television cameras and their own floodlights and so on. And they were recording people, you know, just driving up with their cars and smashing the windows. And it wasn't just the poor people. You know, what was happening is that the poor people, they were going to the supermarket, you know, getting the food and these things. The rich people were also driving up with their Mercedes Benz, and they were going to the first stores, the diamonds, you know, place jewelry stores, they were knocking those off. Everybody was involved. Why? Because the police force, you know, stopped thieves to function. Everybody fell. Nobody was going to catch them now. Nobody could see them. So, all hell broke loose. That's the reality. It's not the way of the believer. The believer, his righteousness is based on his consciousness of Allah. He knows that whatever he does, he will have to answer to Allah about it. There is an account coming. So, the beginning of repentance lies in the remembrance of Allah. And there is a verse in the Quran where Allah speaks to this factor directly. He says, والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم. Those who, having done some shameful or having wronged their own souls, remember Allah and immediately ask forgiveness for their sins. They do errors. Allah describes these are the believers. These are the believers Allah is describing here. Will commit errors, but when they do so, they remember Allah. And when they remember Allah, they turn back to Allah seeking His forgiveness. What he is saying also is that when we turn back to Allah, we are not doing so to impress anybody. We are turning back to Allah because we have remembered Him and we seek to please Him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said in a hadith collected in Sahih Bukhari, whoever informs others about his good deeds, to win their praise or does them in public for acclaim will be exposed by Allah. So when we turn to Allah, we don't do so to impress others, to show others how pious we may be. This is why the Prophet ﷺ had said that the best of prayers, outside of the compulsory prayers, are the prayers done in the middle of the night. Why?
because you can't be impressing anybody then. You're all by yourself. If you get up then and pray, it's all before Allah. So this is your best of prayers. Unfortunately, most of us miss this opportunity. When Allah says through His Prophet that this is the best of prayers, it means that these are the prayers which have the greatest reward. The best prayers for us. So it's very important for us to utilize this type of information that the Prophet has provided for us. And to turn to Allah in repentance in the times when we are closest to Him. The times when there is no one to impress. The second principle is that of immediacy. That is, you don't commit a sin and then you wait and you wait before you turn back to Allah and repent. You know, you commit the sin, but you enjoy the pleasure which comes from that sin for a while until it wears off, and then you decide, okay, now it's time to turn back to Allah. This is not sincere repentance. This is just a game. You think somehow Allah is not aware of what you're doing. There's no sincerity there. This is why Allah says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءُ بجهالة ثم يتوبون من قريب. Surely Allah will forgive those who do sins in ignorance and soon turn in repentance to Him. من قريب. They don't wait. Very important. And Allah said elsewhere, سارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم. Hasten in a race for forgiveness from your Lord. Don't wait. Whenever you commit an error, turn back to Allah immediately. Actually, what we do when we delay, besides the factor of enjoying the pleasure of the sin, we are in fact believing that we know the future, that you will have time to turn back. You see? And in fact, Allah alone knows the future. You don't know when you're going to die. So we should never put off turning back to Allah, believing, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it later. Never. Because we have no guarantees. And Allah said that only those who feel safe from Allah are those who are lost. If we commit errors and we feel safe, we don't feel worried, fearful, we are in a state of loss. Something really very important for us to reflect on. To think about. How many times we commit an error and we just keep on going. Stop for a long time. Just keep on going. The fearfulness is not there. The third major principle is that of cessation. Cessation meaning that you cease and desist. Stop. You stop immediately. You cannot be committing a sin and continue to do the sin and turn to Allah and forgiveness. This doesn't come together. You have to stop. Because as long as you continue to do it, then you have become deliberate in your disobedience. If your last verse in the previous verse that I mentioned, who do error be jahalat, in ignorance. You know, we're all humans. In ignorance we do this wrong, you know, error, we forgot and we did this. But now when the sin becomes a deliberate sin, where you plot and you plan and you do it and you continue to do it, see then, this is an expression of a hardened heart. One that has virtually no hope for forgiveness. We have to look at us now. Because of course when Allah is telling us this stuff, when He's telling us this in the Quran, when the Prophet ﷺ relates to us, these are things for us to reflect on, to improve the quality of our worship. So we have to give it up. Allah describes the believers saying, وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا وَعَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. No, sorry. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. And those who do not knowingly persist in the wrong they have done, for them is a reward of forgiveness from their Lord. They do not knowingly persist in that wrong. Their condition. Otherwise, we do not attain forgiveness for that sin. Now if a person, for example, is drowning in riba, he is dealing in interest, one of the major sins, a sin so grave that Allah and His Messenger has declared war against those who do not give it up. So grave that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that its interest has 70 branches. The simplest of the branches is like a man having sex with his mother. So, it's not to say that in Islamic law, if you commit the sin of dealing in riba, the law says that you must be taken and stoned or beaten, you know, as you would be if you were caught having sexual relations with your mother. No, this is not what the Prophet ﷺ is comparing here. What he is comparing is a consciousness whereby the individual who it is suggested to, somebody suggests to you to have relations with your mother, you're repulsed. You feel sick to your stomach. The idea is repulsive to you. Astaghfirullah. The same way that you are repulsed, this is so repugnant to you, when somebody suggests to you, let's go down the bank and take out this bank loan, that's the same way you should feel. This is the point. That's the same way that you should feel. And if you don't feel that way, then there is something wrong with your faith. If you don't feel sick to your stomach, to the idea of going to the bank and dealing in interest, then there is something wrong with your faith. You do not fear Allah's declaration of war. You are among those who are lost There are certain sins, if we commit them, we cannot achieve salvation, atonement, unless we do certain acts. Among them is if we commit a sin against our brother, if we have cheated him, we have lied to him, we have dishonored him, backbitten him, we cannot turn to Allah and say, Allah forgive me, and that covers this. No. You can turn and say to Allah that Allah has chosen, He has set a principle that He will not forgive you for the sins you commit against your brother. He will forgive you for sins you commit against Him in your disobedience to Him. But what you have committed against your brother, He will not forgive unless you ask forgiveness from your brother. You see, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, you know, had said that on one occasion he asked his companion, do you know who is a bankrupt person? You know, who's the person who's bankrupt? Do you know who this person is? They said, well, the person who has no dinars or dirhams, no pennies or pounds. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. This is not the truly bankrupt individual. The one who is truly bankrupt is the one who comes before Allah on the Day of Judgment with all his good deeds, thinking, I've made it. Done so many good things, I'm on the winning side. I'm guaranteed paradise. However, when he stands before Allah, people will come. And they will say, this individual, he struck me. He cheated me. He did this, he did that, he did the other. And to make up for what that individual did, they will take some of his good deeds as payment on the Day of Judgment. Taking from his scale of good deeds, they will take. And they will continue to come and take until his good deeds are finished. And then they will take from their evil deeds and put on his skin. And he will be thrown in hell because of it. This is the one who is truly back. So Prophet Muhammad has said in a hadith collected by Al-Bukhari also, whoever has wronged his brother with regard to his honor or anything else should seek his pardon now before the time when neither dinars nor dirhams will be of any benefit. At that time, if he has good deeds, an amount of them equal to the wrong will be taken. But if he has none, sins from the wrong person will be put on him. So if we have committed an error against our brother, we should turn to him and ask his forgiveness. Express our sorrow, our wrongness to him, feeling of wrongness, asking that he forgive us. And this is an area where many brothers go astray. Because it is one in which you have to struggle with the original sin, pride. The original sin for us is pride. It is the one which caused Satan, Iblis, who knew Allah better than you or I. But when he was commanded to bow to Adam, he refused, saying, I am better than him. You made him from clay and you made me from fire. I am better than him. Pride. About which the Prophet ﷺ said,
None who has a mustard seed worth of pride in his heart will enter paradise. Pride. This is one of the things that is killing them, destroying their good deeds. I hear it in different ways. I've experienced it here. People feeling proud because we are these people. I'm a Jamaican. You're only a Trinidadian. It's gross. The sin is hated in the sight of Allah. It destroys our good deeds. And it breaks the ranks of Muslims. You find Muslims polarizing into various communities. This is the opposite of what Islam was about. Islam brought Muslims together, brought people together from various battles. We all know the stories about Salman and Farisi, Bilal, the Ethiopian, Suhaib, the Roman. We all know it. But these stories are just stories we read about, we enjoy, we tell our children, but we don't live. And our communities reflect it. And we can be certain that Islam will never be established here until the national, racial, tribal divisions which exist in the hearts of the Muslims is removed. It will never be established. For sure. And this is what keeps a brother back. He does wrong to his brother. It is pointed out to him. But he can't go back to that brother and say, I am sorry. He's too proud. Too much. Yet the Prophet Muhammad said that none of you who humbles himself to his Muslim brother does so without Allah elevating him. The elevation, the superiority of soul and of spirit comes in true humility. But most of us have missed the message. Most of us have missed the message. The next principle or condition, and that's just about the last one. Actually, there are a few more, but in order to give you all an opportunity to ask some questions before we run into the prayer of Maghrib, I will try to just cut it short. The next principle is that of sorrow. Sorrow. That we must feel sorry. Feel sadness. Having done
something wrong, when we turn to Allah, we have to feel sadness within ourselves. We have to feel truly sorry. It has to be there. Otherwise, that turning isn't real. It is just a ritual. That sadness is one of the core principles of repentance. This is why Prophet ﷺ had said in a hadith collected by Ibn Majah, which is authentic, authenticated by Nasruddin Albani in the book Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah, "I came with my father to Abdullah and heard him say, I heard Allah's messenger say, remorse is repentance. My father asked him, did you actually hear the Prophet say, remorse is repentance? He replied, yes. Remorse is repentance. It is the essence of repentance. Remorse has got to be there. When remorse is there, this is a product of being aware of Allah. It's an expression of God.